This is the Horse Radio Network.
Horse Nation.
This episode is Do Try This at Home.
Leslie, I'm...
Failure is always an option. Any result's a result, that's for sure. Or not.
Well, hi, everybody. Glenn the Geek back with you tonight. We're all getting a little more tired as the week goes on, a lot like the riders, I'm sure. But I am back here. We are doing a live broadcast here at 8 p.m. on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. I am Glenn the Geek of the Horse Radio Network, founder of the Horse Radio Network, and host of many of the shows. And as usual, returning with me tonight is Devin Horn. Hi, Devin.
Howdy.
Devin is a two-time competitor and also came in second place 1 year for the Mongol Derby, and this is our Mongol Derby coverage. And you'll see this other guy. The other guy over there is Thomas Bateman, Tommy. And Tommy, of course, is Leslie's husband.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for following along and all the support. I'm super excited to be here, and hopefully I'll have something interesting to contribute.
Well, we're so excited to have you tonight. This sound file will also be... Everybody's audio is good. Is that...
Right?
Yay! They can hear us tonight? Yay! Great. Well, I'm in a hotel room in Philadelphia. Devin's in Texas. We got Tennessee. We got the whole country covered here. Well, we're going to start with... I just wanted to mention that the audio will be available later in the Horses in the Morning feed. For those that miss any part of this, you can go back and take a listen to our podcast feed for that. So, Thomas, we have to start with you before we go into Devin's 3 pages of notes on last night. I got to tell you that I just can't imagine what it'd be like to be you right now. Being a horse husband, I don't know what you're going through.
Well, you know, normally I'm a very, like, organize my thoughts kind of guy, and that's getting harder and harder by the day. I need to shave. I need a haircut. I'm running out of clean clothes. But I took a shower this morning, and I had a hot cup of coffee, and so I'm keeping that in perspective. You know, I'm here. I'm super excited, and it's been a roller coaster. I mean, the highest of the highs and utter panic. But I knew that's what it was going to be. I mean, I thought that's what it was going to be, you know? And so I'm just trying to follow along and be supportive and answer questions for so many people who are, friends and loved ones, or just readers or listeners of Leslie. They have questions and I'm trying to help. Devin's doing an amazing job helping with answering questions for people that she doesn't know. She's been so generous with her time and energy. So I'm just trying to follow along and be supportive and enjoy it and not lose my mind.
Well, last night we'll talk about this right now. Last night, what about 2 o'clock in the morning our time? We were watching the dots, and the Leslie's dot made a left, and then made another left, and then wandered around a while. And then we kind of figured at that point that her pony had decided to go a different direction than her. And apparently that is what happened, right?
Yeah. I think the term they're using to describe the what exactly happened or what was going on when her pony became separated from her is a kit adjustment, which that could be a euphemism, of course, for, you know, a bathroom break or whatever. It could be... you know, helping, stopping to, you know, fix something that was falling off. You know, I don't know. We won't know. I mean, we won't really know until we hear from her, I guess. I mean, my first thought was it was a fall. And so I was like, you know, whatever happens with the gear and the pony is fine. Is she okay? You know, obviously she was moving backwards, you know, towards the previous or two. And then she went north for a while. And so that was encouraging to some degree, but then we got updates, and they were really good about, I mean, they've got so much to keep up with, but to kind of keep this of many like plates spinning to keep Leslie's story kind of continuously updated. I really appreciated being able to dig back through there and kind of piece it together as they reported. So.
Devin, do you know, can you kind of give us an idea of what you know happened with Leslie last night?
I gave you a whole timeline because I was sitting there watching the whole thing, panicking, stress eating at 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to figure out what was going on. And like Tommy said, all of a sudden her tracker just started going crazy. And I had no idea what was going on. She was going north. And I even posted something on her Facebook like, Leslie, where are you going? You know, the Earth 2's that way, kind of as a joke. And then I realized, oh, man, she's chasing after a pony. That's why she's not going any way that makes sense. So like you said, she became separated somehow, and I'm not entirely sure how. But she looked for her horse for a little while, and then the support team, Kazi and Hugh, came out and helped her look for the horse. And to this moment, they have not found the horse. Oh, wow. So her kit and her horse are gone. They are in Russia enjoying a nice Moscow mule, and they will maybe make an appearance sometime down the road, and maybe Leslie will get her kit back. And this is when the real badass stuff started, because Leslie made her way back to Earth 2 number 8, that's horse station number 8, got on a brand new horse
without pressing the, like, save me button.
Right, exactly. Without asking for any handouts, she got on a horse with a borrowed saddle with no stirrups and rode that sucker all the way to Earth 2 9, which is, like, legendary status in the Mongol Derby. That's unheard of, I think.
Well, all those no stirrup Novembers that Leslie invented came in my head there, Thomas.
I can't believe it. Yeah, now she's going to be insufferable this November, you know. Oh, you know, it's not important, guys. It just saved my life, you know.
Well, and so she rode. That's what I was confused about. So she rode to the next or two without the stirrups. And
exactly.
I just got a report 2 minutes ago that says that she is still at station 9. Leslie's still at the station. The herders are sorting out her tack. So
right.
That's why we haven't seen her move, is they're trying to sort out what she's got going there. Now, from what I understand, she got a saddle, she got stirrups from locals, and they were being held together by some straps of some sort.
Yeah, the Hugh and Kazi fashioned her some leathers out of some ratchet straps, which is so Mongolia.
That's so Leslie.
Yeah, so Mongolia and so Leslie. So she's, you know, piecing together stitch by stitch a kit to get this thing done. So, I mean, she's got some, even Katie was like, this girl has got some balls.
What would also have been attached to her saddle would have been her sleeping bag or whatever, right?
Everything she didn't have on her body. So she's probably got her GPS and her spot tracker and her water with her, but sleeping bag, sleeping kit, electrolytes, food, everything that she has, you know, to get her through this race is completely gone. And she's just going to have to, you know, come up with how she's going to get through the rest of this race on the kindness of strangers and her fellow competitors, as well as some help from the support group.
And it was a nice day apparently too. So she was wearing like minimal.
Right.
Surely
I don't know. She probably didn't even have a rain slicker on. It's probably on that horse somewhere in Russia.
Yeah. I'm just reading the comments here, and it says, and I'll have to take a look at it. Her tracker shows her going out, but now returning. So we'll have to maybe Tommy, you could take a look at that while we're chatting. Well, Tommy, do you want to hang out with us for a little while we do the report here?
Sure. I mean, I'm not doing anything other than
good. Well, we'd love
the only thing that's keeping me from is jumping back and forth from app to app and following in every way possible. That's the only thing I'm missing out on.
All right, well, I'll let you go right now. Give us updates on the tracker, and Devin's going to tell us, we're going to go to some of the other competitors and talk about who's leading and what happened yesterday.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, I think we just lost Tommy. So, okay.
<Good. laughs>
He actually went away on us. So, Devin, what happened yesterday? Who's leading and where are we at?
Everything. When I predicted that day 3 was the worst day of the Derby, I did not expect it to happen in such a theatrical fashion, because it was a Murphy's Law day. Everything that can go wrong will go wrong. And it's not just Leslie that pulled the short straw. It was everybody having a really rough day. And I'm not really sure why. Maybe the storm riled up the ponies. Maybe the horses at Earth 2 8 were a little bit more feisty than the other ones had been. I really have no idea, but Leslie was not the only horse rider to lose a horse yesterday. another rider also came off her horse, lost it, and then her kit was eventually found. So at least there's that. We also saw a couple more retirements during yesterday as well as this morning, kind of residual effects from yesterday. So day three of the Derby saw really four retirements, right, as well as two people bucked off and a couple other injuries.
Do you have the names of the retirements there?
I do, yes. So we have Julie Fisher, who was a retired already. And then we have Rick Helson, who retired for a combination of dehydration and hypothermia. We have Jane Boxhall, who retired from a fall. Neil Gold, who retired from general wear and tear. And Claire Salmon, who has a bum ankle and has retired from the race.
And Claire was one of the people that Leslie went out with for a week or for a couple of days to practice with.
Yeah.
In Tennessee, I think. I think she was one of the ones that she did that with.
Yeah.
I know she's a friend of Leslie's. All right.
We also had a couple more penalties. Barry Armitage, who has been kind of a favorite and kind of getting up on the competitors and started beginning to be a front runner, was hit with a penalty early yesterday. But Jackie Mellett, our South African dude, is still holding the lead just barely when I last looked at our tracker. So he is our day three leader to start.
And he is still holding the lead. He's at 435 kilometers, so he's about halfway done. Now we did go through that famous Ertu number 11, which is where they applied the penalties, right?
Right. So speaking plainly, everything that happens after Ertu 11, everyone should be clean from penalties.
Okay. So we start over basically at 11.
Exactly right. So the tracker should show the real placings instead of people having penalties amassed.
Gotcha. Okay. So once they're through 11, then it's new penalties at that point.
Exactly. Yep. And it's really exciting because the people chasing Jackie are not very far behind him. Marie Palser and Ed Fernand are very hot on his heels.
Yeah.
I'm
looking here and they are 9 kilometers behind him.
So. Yeah, they're going to push him and really be struggling to catch him. I'm sure it's kind of galling them that he passed them while they were serving their penalties. So it's going to be a pretty exciting day to watch.
And we're getting some questions in here, and we'll try and answer those as best we can along the way. But let's let Devin go a little bit more through your report here.
Yeah, definitely. So as far as front runners go, you know, we have Jackie, and then we have Marie and Ed, and then just a little bit behind them, we have Barry Armitage, Warren Sutton, and Will Komski, a.k.a. Dingo. And two of those guys are hardened Derby veterans, and they are going to be coming up. So it's going to be really exciting to watch how this front pack emerges and see what they do over the course of the day.
Alicia is reporting to us that Leslie Wiley at 9 now, the camel stirrups didn't make it. He's got a spare set, so delivering those will get her riding as soon as possible.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah, she needs some nice iron, Russian iron to get on those ratchet straps to get her to the next Ertu, for
now,
sure.
When they talk about camel stirrups, are they really made of camel?
I don't know if they're talking about camel stirrups or like the silken like loops, maybe.
I see what they're
doing. I'm not sure.
They're not, they're not firm, they're loose.
Yeah, I would love to see a picture of what she's riding with. Oh. Maybe Eric will send this one.
Okay, we have Tommy back. Let's bring him back in here.
Great.
Tommy, you disappeared on us. I didn't know what happened.
I wanted to go check the Twitter feed and the tracker.
Yeah, we were just reporting that she apparently is looking for new stirrups and things right now, right?
Yeah, I think it said Hustler was there, which I think is Eric Cooper.
That's Eric, yeah, the Blood Wagon.
Yeah, which is cool. I'm sure they're happy to see each other. You know, they did not only the interview to be in the race, but she interviewed him in a pivotal moment in her preparation Horses in the Morning.
On the show, yeah.
And so I think he's the one that has like a spare set of stirrups, and so they're trying to get her back and riding ASAP. Is what they said.
He's got a magic ferg on. It's got pretty much everything you could ever want in there.
We're getting questions. Will that cause her to have a penalty with them helping her with tech here?
That's okay. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And so far, they have not published that she's been given a penalty. I believe it's because she got herself back to 8 without pressing her help button. I believe that's why she was not issued a penalty, although it is up to ride management discretion. Like, they didn't give that guy who got stitched up, you know, his face stitched up that on day one, they didn't give him a penalty. So I think they're kind of if they're in the area and it's not causing a race delay and you're not specifically asking for help, I think they're giving a little bit of helping hand out there.
It must be difficult for them. I mean, to take a look at the staff here, because you got riders spread out for a long way now, and they have to cover all of these checkpoints. It's got to be tough. It's like a job.
Definitely. Yeah. Especially on the medics. They've got, you know, a team of medics, but they have to be, you know, able to get to places very fast in case there's an emergency. So today or tomorrow, we probably may see the back riders being brought forward. It may happen.
Now, how about last year's? Will was last year's champion, and is he still in the race? Where what's going on with Will?
He's in that pack that's at Ertu 11 or roundabouts right now, chasing the front three. He's with Barry and Warren chasing the front three and coming up fast. So him and Barry together are probably kind of like the closest you could get to a dream team this year. They're both, you know, pretty solid blokes, so we will be able to probably see a move happening today.
And I do see right now, when I take a look at the tracker, Dingo, that's who we're talking about. His horse has taken him for a wild ride at the beginning of that Ertu.
Oh, is he scribbling?
Yeah, he's definitely scribbling. So I don't know what's happening there, but they're all there.
Hopefully he's still on.
It looks like there's three of them there. We got Dingo there. We got Warren Sutton there. And we have Barry Armitage there. So we got three boys hanging out at that one.
Yes. And three powerhouse kids, three powerhouse boys, you know, riding together. That should be a pretty awesome pack.
Now, they are a good ways behind the other two. They're about 50 kilometers behind them at this point.
Don't count them out.
As we saw with Leslie, anything can happen, right?
Yeah, I'm expecting a shakeup in the front pack today.
So, Tommy, have you been getting any sleep at all in all of this?
Yeah. last night, in particular, the previous two nights, I pretty much was getting short spans of sleep and waking up and checking and then falling back asleep. Last night, I had a meeting after work, and then I had an important meeting at work this morning, so I knew I had to go to sleep. We were hosting some people from out of town, and I had to like give a tour and everything. So I went to sleep, and I'd seen her turn around and start to move in a direction other than towards the next Ertu. And I watched for a little while, and I thought, I don't know what's going on, but the clock is ticking. And so I went to sleep and woke up, I guess maybe 5 or 5:30. So that wasn't a full night's sleep by any stretch of the imagination. And had a lot to figure out really quickly while also getting ready for work. So it was phone in hand, making coffee, phone in hand, brushing teeth, you know.
There's been a lot of people doing that right now.
Yeah.
You know what? I have had this question today, and I wanted to get to Devin with it. It came up a couple of times, and I love this question, and I already know the answer. Out of curiosity, we have looked online and found a bunch of information about how to enter the Derby and the $13,000 it costs. What is the prize for winning the Derby?
The respect of the peerage and a firm handshake.
Do you even get a belt buckle?
No, they don't even have belt buckles or medals or anything. it's really nothing. You get the satisfaction of knowing you've won the hardest horse race in the world.
I've answered that question like 15, 20 times in the last week. Like, oh, what do you win? I was like, well, you win the Derby. Like, what do you win? You won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And more often than not, they say, but those people get paid a lot of money to do that. And I was like, well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You do get a ceremonial bowl of fermented mare's milk at the finish line.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Like you haven't had enough of it during the ride. So you did.
It's not all ceremonial. That's just normal. That's just normal mare's milk.
So we are in day ceremonial four, stuff right?
Is where
we're in day
at.
Four that has just started.
Started day four, yep.
Everybody, we finished day three last night, and now we're starting day four. You told me, too, that when intestinal stuff starts to kick in, it's usually around day four.
Yeah, day four and day five are the days when everything that you've been eating kind of starts catching up with you, and you start really kind of having to battle the GI symptoms. This is the part where the medics will start putting people on drip and handing out anti-diarrhea pills and all that nice snarly stuff that you get to deal with, you know, from eating foreign food and trying to race your body 1,000 kilometers across the steppe. So the riders will begin dealing with that shortly.
Okay, you want to start handling some questions here? Lucy said,
sure.
And I think this one's easy to answer. Are they the same horses being reused each day, or is it a completely new set? And the answer to that is there's a completely new set. They are using a total of 1,400 horses during this race.
That's correct.
Yep. Let's see here. people like you, Thomas. Thomas seems like such a good guy. Don't let his looks fool you.
thank you, everyone.
Aussie's Going Mongol Derby just joined us, and there are a ton of you guys are doing very well. Congratulations to the Aussies.
Yeah. They've got three of the top seven.
Yeah, the Aussies. Well, we knew the Aussies. They're tough as hell down there. I mean, they don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I saw one of the comments this morning or just a little while ago was about one of the Aussies on the Twitter feed. I don't know if you guys have that there, but on the Twitter feed, they said, you know, I forget which rider it was just, you know, they said he was in pain, and the vet said, well, you know, pain is just, you know, it's just a state of mind. Get out there and ride. So,
yeah, the vet that told him that happens to be Australian.
Oh,
yeah. Kazi is not only can drink you under the table, but he's not the best guy to go to for advice as far as dealing with pain. That was kind of a setup.
So Carol says, are the leaders where you would expect them to be at this stage of the race? Distance-wise.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, they're doing very well. In some years, they're a little behind what I would expect. Sometimes the terrain, you know, contributes to that. But for the most part, they're doing about 100 miles a day. So they're on track, and that's the speed of the front pack. That's what it should be.
And Devin, do you know a girl named Heather?
I know a lot of girls named Heather.
Heather Sally, last name Sally. Do you know?
Yes, I know of her.
Yeah, well, she just asked, what were you drinking earlier? So she knows you very well, Devin.
Yes. You know, we had so many people bow out yesterday, and I was up till 4 o'clock trying to figure out where Leslie was doing. So I have my Chinggis Gold, which is the number one vodka of Mongolia here, that I'm taking a couple swigs of while I do this show.
Representing, Devin. You are representing. And Thomas, what are you drinking?
It's that kind of day.
I got water here in Philadelphia. I don't have anything good. How do they choose the horses in the morning? Who has the input, rider, staff? Does a horse, do they pick their own? Do they say that one's yours? How does that work?
So usually when you come up, they have about, let's say, 10 on the line waiting for you. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. Sometimes you'll go up to a line and they'll say, sorry, the horses ran off. You're going to have to wait while we catch one for you, which has happened. But for the most part, you'll have 10 in a row. And then it's up to the rider. The rider can depend on their own thoughts as to which one they think looks best and say, I want that one. There's usually an interpreter there so they can ask the herders questions. Or they can, you know, kind of indicate what they want. You know, do I want a very fast horse? Do I want a gentle horse? Do I want one that doesn't buck? Do I want one that lets me get on and off easily because I'm having diarrhea and I need to get off the horse very quickly? You know, you can kind of ask them for what you need, and they'll help you choose if you'd like.
Now, we did get a question about how many from each country, and Australia is very well represented. They had like 12 riders this year, Canada a couple, Iceland one, New Zealand a couple, South Africa one, Sweden two, the UK a bunch, like 8 or 10, and then the United States has around 10. I'm just giving you rough numbers here, so that gives you kind of the ratio. A lot of countries represented. So what else, Devin, did you want to really talk about with last night's, yesterday's wildness?
Well, I wanted to give an update on Liv because we hadn't talked about her in a couple of days and she's been on the show. So I wanted to give an update on my other Derby girl, who is actually now just one or two behind Leslie. Really? So we may have a reunion here in a little bit, especially since Leslie was a little late getting up this morning. We may see a Liv and Leslie team up, which would be really cool. According to the tracker, she's been doing about 3 legs a day. So that's... Sorry?
Oh, I was just going to say that thought occurred to me too, because I know that she had a problem horse early on, I think on day one.
Exactly. Yeah, and so she's been running mid-pack, you know, for the pretty much the entire Derby. She's been getting 3 or 2s done a day, except for that first day when she only got 2. I did see on the Twitter today that she had her ankle taped, and it's really bothering her a little bit, which could be from an injury. I'm not entirely sure if it's like an old injury or something that happened during the ride, maybe a wonky horse. But she's only, you know, a little bit behind Leslie, so we could see them team up a little bit, which would be great.
And she explained to people who she is. I mean, for the new people who are just joining us tonight.
Yeah, Liv Wood is our dual citizen Canadian American who helped. Well, she came down and did that 86-mile training ride with me and Leslie, as well as, you know, spoke to Leslie and kind of shared in the training a little bit. And so she's my other Derby kid this year. And I've been following her just as much as I have Leslie, you know.
I wanted to thank one of our Swedish listeners, too. And she put together this amazing spreadsheet with statistics and Tommy, I'll send it to you. It is this amazing spreadsheet she put together.
It's like overpowering. Yeah, it's crazy.
What she's doing over there in Sweden all the time for that.
You guys are breaking up a little bit.
You're breaking up on us a little bit, too.
Yeah.
You guys are breaking up, so it might be on my end here. I heard you say my name, and then I didn't hear the rest of the question.
Yeah, I think
so maybe to, like, hop off and hop back on?
Yeah, give that a try. Give it a try.
Okay.
So, yeah, she did this amazing spreadsheet, and it shows all the penalties and anything. Susan Nelson wants to know, is there any hanky-panky going on? You know, they haven't caught – if what you mean by hanky-panky is not sexual, they haven't caught anybody that I know about sneaking off at night and advancing and that kind of thing, right?
No, that's usually pretty general. As far as the other matter, anything that happens at the Derby stays at the Derby. So,
okay, they got chafing in places there's not supposed to be chafing. If there's any of that going on, it's painful.
Hey, it's a room full of badasses.
Okay, I'll give you that. Nothing to worry about, Tommy. We weren't talking about anything. You're good.
No, nothing.
Oh, yeah, the thing I heard was what happens at the Derby stays at the Derby.
So, yes.
We were talking about what they eat, Tommy. It's what they eat. That's funny.
Is that telling me about what she ate while she was there? No, <I'm> curious.
That's funny. So, I don't know. Do we have anything else to add tonight yet at this point, Devin, that you want to add? Let's just take a quick look at where we're at again.
Yeah, we have 38 riders still going, and they're very spread out, like you said, over like the course of about 6 or 7 Ertus. We have some of the front pack through the first penalty station, so it's just it's a new game. And like I said, I'm expecting a little bit of a shakeup as that really strong pack of Barry, Warren, and Will comes thundering up. I'm expecting them to chase and maybe even overtake Marie, Ed, and Jackie today. That's my prediction, if you will. I think it's going to happen.
Well, Marie has closed ground. She's now sitting in third place, and we're talking about Marie Palser. Then in second place, just coming into an ER2 now, is Ed Fernan. And then in the ER2 right now is Jackie. So, South Africa is representing here. South Africa has won this race before.
So, yes, they have. Byronie Epstein, 2015, was a Mongol Derby winner
and we
from
had
South
her
Africa.
On. Did you? Were you there that year?
I was. Yes.
Yeah, she's a badass.
She is a very badass, and she actually came down and trained in Texas with me and Justin as well.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
She seems like a lot of fun. She's always out doing something adventurous.
Yeah, definitely. That's her normal state is just adventuring and, you know, living life.
Now, you know, we should mention too, for those that are joining us now, that Devin just got off a 500-mile ride of the Colorado Trail.
Yeah, I did.
And that was amazing. That took you, what, 5-6 weeks?
It was 30 days on the dot, which is much slower than these guys at the Derby are doing right now. Definitely much slower.
But you guys seem to have a blast, and talk about the most beautiful scenery in the world right there.
We did, yeah. It was very reminiscent of the Derby, and you know, it was kind of like a mini Derby challenge because we got to sleep rough and we got to cross all of this great, you know, terrain. We did eat better than the Mongol Derby is, and you know, it's not, obviously not as stressful on your body as the Derby is. I you could do like 100 Colorado trails before you got to the point where your knees hurt as bad as they do in the Derby.
I want to give a shout out to Elisa Wallace is joining us. Talk about badass women right there.
Oh, great.
Hi, Elisa. It's good to have you here tonight. And I think Tommy knows who Elisa is, too. Of course, she's an international eventer and trains Mustangs as well. It's very popular for that. So we're glad to have her on board tonight. This is a good question, too. Does the course go through water crossings or rivers? Do they have to I can't say that word.
Ford.
Thank you. Rivers?
Yeah, they do. And depending on how much that rain stuck around will depend on the height. Sometimes there is swimming in the Mongol Derby, although the race directors try to have a spot where you can cross pretty easily that they've mapped out beforehand in case, you know, you want to go to that spot. However, if the fastest route is through the deeper water and you want to make that decision, that's all you. So, you know, you can choose to risk it or you can go over the bridge or something else.
Now, you're choosing to risk it on a 13.5 hand pony that will drown in about 3 feet of water. So
Right. And one of my years, there was an absolutely mandatory creek crossing in which they said the river is much too dangerous to attempt and you must go over this bridge. And, you know, I was kind of like, oh, man, I think I could do it. And then I saw the river and I was like, no, this is a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, we've lost several hikers in the Pacific on the Pacific Trail this year, and it was from river crossings. They drown in river crossings.
Yeah, it's no joke. It's rivers and streams are really no joke.
And Elisa, now you've been challenged in the chat here, Elisa Wallace, to go do it next year. And you know, Devin's talking about going back. I'd love to see you two compete against each other.
That would be pretty fun.
Okay, there you go, Elisa. Put that eventing career on hold for a couple of weeks and head to Mongolia.
Yeah, no problem. Just forget about the wig. It's not important.
Yeah, who cares about that eventing stuff? Who cares about that?
Hey, Glenn and Devin?
Yeah.
Glenn and Devin, you guys are breaking up again, okay. So I'm not really hearing all of it. I might need to, like...
All right, well, do you want to bail out on us? We're going to wrap up here soon anyway, so thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it, and we're thinking about you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye, Tommy.
All right, take care, Tommy.
I'll see you out there on the internet.
All right, bye-bye. And Tommy's page is pretty much open, too. If you want to head over to his Facebook page, it's Thomas Bateman. You'll find it over
there. Yeah, he writes these really lovely, like, love note summaries every morning that I like reading.
Also, other places to find information, obviously Horse Nation and Eventing Nation are posting where Leslie works. They're posting. This episode goes out every night on our Horses in the Morning podcast feed, so you'll find it there. Horses in the Morning, for those that are just joining us, is the most popular horse podcast in the world. And we have listeners in 92 countries. We're here 5 days a week, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Or 9 days a week. 5 days a week. I'm tired. 5 days a week. We're here 9 days a week. God, it seems like that sometimes. This week it especially
Glenn,
seems
do you,
like that.
Do you need some
I
of this?
I do need that, actually. I do need that. If there, any other questions? Last chance for questions for Devin before we wrap it up. We'll be back. Are you back tomorrow night, Devin? Were you back here again?
Yes, I am.
Saturday night? Okay, good. I'm at a place where every rider wants to be. I am at the American Equestrian Trade Association, which is the trade show where manufacturers meet retailers for all the new horse stuff coming out. So there will be hundreds of booths here with thousands of products, and every horse girl would love to attend this one, let me tell you. And they do have cash and carry on Monday. So Jennifer brought an extra big bag with her, so it could be interesting.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Yeah, oh, a couple of quick questions here. We said we'd answer them. Have food. Is it mutton? Yes, it's mutton and mutton and mutton. Where do you get the Mongolian bottle of booze? There's an important question from Carol.
It's very important. You get it only in Mongolia, the Chinggis Gold, and it's cheaper than a bottle of water.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. And how about, let's see here. Does the course follow the same route each year, Lucy? Yes. No, right?
Every single year, it's a new course. So every single year is a new race, pretty much.
I'm getting a question from Jody. Are you going to broadcast from Ada? We are recording a show on Sunday from Ada, and we'll put it out on Horses in the Morning first thing on Monday morning. So we'll have 10 to 12 new products that nobody's heard about yet. We get them here first. So we'll be bringing you all kinds of new products that we're finding on Monday morning on Horses in the Morning. It will not be live. It'll be recorded, but we will be putting it out. We're getting a lot of live stuff this week, thanks to Devin. And Devin, I can't thank you enough for doing this. You didn't have to do this. Devin is not making any money doing this. None of us are, actually. So we're doing this because we find it fun and we want to support our girl out there and all the other riders. It's just so much fun to track all this. And I know the listeners are having fun with it, too.
Honestly, I'm just so happy to talk to it with people, because usually I just have to bottle up all of these feelings and just scream, you know, at the dots and drink vodka alone. So this is pretty nice to have somebody to talk to about it.
And her boyfriend. Her boyfriend is so sick of her talking about the Derby.
Yeah.
Hey, I just got a private message, and I wanted to ask you this, too. Do you, we'll wrap on this. Do you, what other wild things has Devin done in her life? Well, one right now is she's a roller derby girl.
Yeah. My practice on Sunday may cause some scheduling conflicts with this. So we'll have to see. I might be coming to you live from a roller rink.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a little crazy. There are 2000 kilometer races in the world, the Mongol Derby and the Sandymont Express 1000 in South Africa. And I am the only person who's ever done both. So I'm pretty, proud of that. Really? I finished that one last year. Yeah.
We'll have to have you on to talk about that sometime. That sounds like a wild race, too.
Yeah, it is. It's very like the Derby, but also very different. So, you know, it's the same timetable. You do 1,000 kilometers in 7 days. There's a couple of other things on my list so far. I'm also an ultramarathoner, hoping to do my first 100 this year. I've done a couple 50s. I do roller derby. So those are like my three things.
If you continue to do roller derby, you might be too injured to even run an ultramarathon.
Yeah, fingers crossed for no injuries. So far, I've been lucky.
That's almost more dangerous than the Mongol Derby.
Yeah, almost. I'll have to take a look at the stats and get back to you on that one.
Better food, though. Better food.
Definitely.
Well, thank you, everybody. Do join us at Horses in the Morning. You can find us, really, the best way to do it is on the Horse Radio Network app. Just search in the App Store for Horse Radio Network. It's free. It's easy. All 15 shows are on the app, and we're about to add our 16th show here on the Horse Radio Network. We produce 80 episodes a month for you guys, so we hope that you continue to join us. Thank you, Devin. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night. Thanks, everybody.
No problem. Have a good one. Bye.